Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth. We come in tonight, and Brother Randy started singing, He Touched Me. You know, we touch Him, but He touches us first.
Amen, brother.
And I'm glad He's touched me tonight. He touched me this morning in the prayer room. My prayer room had been a little dry of late. And I if you've been a Christian very long, you know what I'm talking about. You'd like for the fire to just consume you every time you go in the prayer room. And you'd like to just be on fire and filled up every time you take a step. But I'm just going to tell you, I've been at it too long. That's not how it is. And it's not that He doesn't go anywhere. But here we are in this world. I don't know about anybody else, but Josh Baldwin preached for me Sunday night. I'm the desk for you, preacher. And it wasn't anything I didn't know. He just reminded me of what I needed to hear. And he helped me. And it was good. If you haven't heard that, I'd recommend that you go back and listen to it. If you're having any trouble about peace in your life, he'll help straighten you out. But this morning in the prayer room, the Lord came by, spent some time with me. My aunt passed away, as I said earlier, about 10 minutes after 4 this morning. I thought, well, there's a grand reunion in heaven today. There's two brothers left out of my mama's family. And so my Aunt Joyce being the oldest girl. And so I don't know why God started in the middle taking them home. But my mom was the first to go out of 7 children, and now there's 2 left. And they're both the oldest boy and the youngest boy. And so, but God knows what He's doing. I'll not challenge what God does. I'll just take what He gives us, and we'll go on down the road. But I was reading my daily Bible reading. Our Sunday school lesson took off in chapter 5 here in 2 Corinthians. Brother Gordon and I talking, we said he missed some good stuff in this, but my daily Bible readings brought me up to this yesterday, and this verse has been on my heart. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to go back before where we started in our Sunday school lesson and pray that this will be a help to you. I think this is a message for the Wednesday night people. This is I know who you are. This is the cream of the crop. Now, we got a lot of people that would be here tonight, but they're at camp. We got some of the moms and parents that went down to be with them at camp tonight, moms and dads, and other people on vacations. It's that time of year. But I'm satisfied this is the message for the Wednesday night crowd here at First Free Will Baptist. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, reading's a little lengthy tonight. When you found that, shout amen for me. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. I'm not going to break all this down. This is every verse is a message in this of why Paul's writing to them. If I make you sorry, Paul doesn't want to hurt their feelings. He's doing it out of love. He's written them one letter that, as Brother Gordon said, they didn't care much about it. It kind of shows where we're at. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? The ones that would cheer me up, here I am. If I make them sorry, it's going to hurt my heart. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. We're to be happy together. I shouldn't have to write this heavy letter. This should be camp meeting, revival time. You've got one letter, you don't, but it's not that way. Having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. We joy one in another. We should joy one in another. For out of much affliction, here we go, and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears to broke Paul's heart to write the letter. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Paul loves this people like his own self. Paul's a pastor. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. I'm not getting on everybody here. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted to many. In other words, you reap what you sow. Now, this is church. This is church discipline here. And you know what? God chastens those that He loves. And so, Paul's talking about a church discipline here that's a necessary thing, and it's necessary because He loved them. In other words, I'm not just going to turn the flock loose and let them run and roam and carouse and shack up and shack out and drink and party and just cause chaos in the church and not love one another. No, I don't care too much about you, he's saying. I'm going to tell you about it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to write you a letter. He's writing one. So that contrary-wise, you ought rather to forgive him. Now watch this. And comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. In other words, rebuke them, but don't run them off. There's some forgiveness required. If they've sought repentance of God and God's forgiven them, who are we not to do it? We better be quick to do it. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. That's how he knows you love him. Brother, you shouldn't have done it. But you did. You sought repentance with God. I forgive you. Praise God. Let's go on. It's too important to stop now. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Are you doing it or not? To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. That's how you do it. You know what the flesh will do? It'll never forget and it won't let go. But when you do it through the Spirit and the power of God and through Christ Jesus, you know what? You give that grace that God gave you. We need to be quick to give that. I'm not saying condone the sin. No. Paul wasn't doing that. He loved them too much to condone the sin. He told them it was wrong. But he said if you've repented, if you've been forgiven, if they've asked forgiveness, forgive them yourself. What's this? Here's why. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Father, I love you and I praise you for being behind the desk. I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for touching us in the Spirit and the power of God. I thank you for your time together with me today. I'm praying, Lord, you'd help me for a little while. Now, Lord, touch your word. I pray you fill my mouth, guard my tongue, preach me inside the bounds of the Holy Writ. I pray, God, that everything that's done here would be pleasing unto you. May might be someone lost on a Wednesday night. I pray, God, that they'd seek forgiveness of the Lord and be gloriously saved. There may be unforgiveness in someone's heart tonight. I pray, God, that they would not let the devil use that. God, that device to hold them down, that they would be freed from that tonight. God, let us give grace if we receive grace. Bless everything that's done for your glory. And use me for a little while, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. I'll give you praise, honor, and glory for everything done and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, I read all that so we'd take this in the context in which it's given. Paul's talking about forgiveness. He's writing this letter. He's reproving. He's rebuking. He's exhorting with all long-suffering and doctrine. He wants them to know how much he cares about them. It's like hearing it from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself. That's how much he cares for this. But here's what Paul says. Hey, because here's what I'm preaching on tonight. Devices of the devil. Paul said, I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices. The devil's devices. I'm not ignorant. Why is this? Because what's this? In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul said he had been hindered by Satan. I don't know about you, but there have been a few times, more than a few, that I've been hindered by Satan. There's been something put up in my way that I wish wasn't there, and I've let that thing hinder me, though I knew where it was coming from, who it come from, and why it church. I'll not go through all those things. But he was hindered. Number two, he was this. 2 Corinthians 12:7. He said, I was buffeted by a messenger of Satan. God allowed that fella to come in, that spirit to come against Paul. He was afflicted in the flesh. You know, he prayed 3 times for it to disappear, but God said no. He said, here's why. Because if Paul hadn't had it, he'd have been exalted above measure. And he sought him thrice, but God told him, said, here's the deal, Paul. My grace is sufficient. I've got sufficient grace to get you through this. Just depend on me. We like to depend on ourselves, don't we? And I think country people's worse than anybody else. I think there's more pride in country people. I've been around. Hey, listen, them city folks, I tell you, they don't have much pride. They don't care in a lot of cases. Country people, I can do it. We've done it for 50 years. I can do it again. I can do it. God's saying, you can't do it. Hey, little child. It'd be like our grandson, if he could talk, walking up and say, hey, Pa, I can do it. I'd say, no, son, you can't do it. You ever have a kid? You ever have a child that won't, when you're trying to do something, they come, let me do it. Let me do it. I'm good. I'm good. No, you can't do it. Oh, yeah, I can do it. Go ahead and do it. And they destroy what they're trying to do. Then you have to put it all back together. But then there comes a day. They come to an age, Brother Danny, when they say, hey, Dad, let me do that. And you know what? They do it better than you do. And you say, okay. Now you've come to that place. Praise God. Paul said, I was buffeted. His grace is sufficient. Whatever we're fighting with, whatever's come against us, listen, we act like it should never happen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not strange. Paul, by this time in the game, we ought to be expecting that stuff. Here's what I say. If the Apostle Paul prayed 3 times that it'd be taken from him, where do you think that leaves us? Hey, we don't want it. We don't want the trouble. We don't want these things. Brother preached it the other night. We think peace means no conflict. That's not right. Number three, Paul said this in Ephesians 6:12. He said, we're wrestling against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand. It's against principalities and powers. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. It's things that you can't see that come against us. You know what those are? Devices of the devil. We shouldn't be surprised by them. We shouldn't let them things blindside us. We should, the moment it occurs, we should be able to say, Paul said, hey, I'm not ignorant to the devices of the devil. Why? He had experienced them too many times. He knew what it was. And you know what? It didn't slow him down none. But what he said about the church, it's a reaping havoc on the church because they're yielding to the devices of the devil. If these things doesn't occur, as Paul's written the letter, if there's not forgiveness, if there isn't discipline, and then if there isn't forgiveness, one old writer said it like this. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, you know, my daddy used to say, this hurts me worse than it does you. He said, and then you couldn't have convinced me of that. He said, it hurt me pretty bad. He said, but then I come to that place, and I had them myself. And I understood that the reason my daddy done that is because he loved me too much to let me go in things that would hurt me down the road. Paul's saying, don't let the devil trip you up with these things. Let me throw a few things at you tonight. Number one, we can see the device. How did Paul know, other than experience, what the devices of the devil was? He had the book. He knew the book. We should know the book. The Wednesday night people know the book. Some's already said, Victoria, I'm reading my Bible. Someone else, Brother Brent, I'm reading my Bible. Hey, that's what we do. It's not something that's just on occasion, just a Wednesday or a Sunday night. No, we get up every day, Randy. Listen, it's a daily event. It's what I live. I live reading this book. Oh, glory to God. First device we see of the devil in the book of Genesis chapter 3 is this. Doubt. Doubting the Word of God. Right off the bat, chapter 3, God's given them everything they need. Every single thing, there's one condition. One condition on what they should can't do. God said this, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There it is in the midst of the garden. Just don't eat of that tree. Guess what? The device of the devil. Doubt the Word of God. Don't believe that word's true. Glory to God. Take it. Take a man's advice. Take some perverted version. Take Time magazine. Take the news. Take anything. But don't believe that. You know what they're doing? They're attacking the Word. Devil's tactics, his devices, hasn't changed any. It's still the same. Here it is. Doubt. Has God not said you shall eat of every tree in the garden? Yeah, God has said we eat every tree, except the tree in the midst of the garden. She doesn't even call it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She said it's the tree in the midst of the garden. But of the tree in the midst of the garden, He said we shall not eat it. For the day we eat it, we shall not touch it. She puts that in there. Well, let's don't even touch it. But the day we eat thereof, we'll die. And the devil says, ah, ye shall not surely die. That won't kill you. He's to whisper that in the ears of a lot of Christians today. Oh, that won't kill you. Just go ahead. Hey, listen. That won't kill you. One bite killed him, killed us. One bite killed us. That's why we'll die. It's the original sin. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's why one bite killed us all. Why, you won't die. It's killed a lot of ministries. It's killed a lot of testimonies. Talking to someone coming to church tonight concerning a certain individual, and they said, how long have they been at it a long time? I said, oh yeah, they go way back. You got to be kidding. Oh no. Doubt the Word. That's a device of the devil. He wants us to doubt, Brother Paul. He don't want us to believe that word. The unerring, infallible Word of the living God. The living Word of God. He doesn't, look, he not only wants us to doubt, he uses doubt against the Word, and it's this. Then it's his will. Now, he won't care. He won't care. It won't matter. It'd be all right. Nobody will ever know. God will know. Am I the only one in here getting raise their hand and say, God knows? Well, that's not a big deal. It is if it's out of the will of God. It's a big deal if it's out of the will of God. It's a big deal. Why? That's a device of the devil. Just doubt it. Right off the bat. First of the book. What do? Doubt the Word. Facebook's great. Mike Blanton said this. I watched him preach on up in Hager Hill. He said this in his opening statements. He said Facebook's and this live streaming stuff is great, but it's also a problem because people have decided to stay at home. Why get dressed up? Why get cleaned up? It's easier. It's easier. I'll tell you why. Because God blesses effort. That's why I commend you for being here on Wednesday night. You could have watched it on Facebook. But God commends effort. And we reach a lot of people. It's hard to imagine how many people listen to this little church. But it's not God's will. Listen, God's will is, because it's in His Word, is that we gather together. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another. Hey, it encouraged me to see you here tonight. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as the day is approaching. You still with me? You believe a device of the devil is doubt? I'm about to help you right here. It's going to help some of us. I haven't been in this place that some of you have been in, but I've had a little touch of it. Number two, I think this is another device of the devil, and I can prove it scripturally. It's discomfort. We go to the book of Job, and the devil, the Lord said, here's what it means. You're thinking about my servant Job. You're considering Job. You got your eye on Job. You want Job? And we think how can this be in the will of God? Go ahead, you can have him. You can't kill him. You can't touch him. But you can have his stuff. Now what happens here? I'm telling you, Dennis, my cousin Dale texted me early this morning. It didn't wake me up. So at normal time I woke up. I got a text message. It woke me up. You better call me if you need me early morning. Text messages sometimes don't wake me up. But if that phone goes to ringing, it'll ring loud enough. I will wake up. And he was heartbroken because his mama just died. I never thought of this until sitting there just a moment ago. Victoria's singing. I had to look at it in Scripture. Job has great discomfort because of his sorrow. Job is he's in great discomfort. His comfort zone is wrecked. He's got sorrow. Not only is all his stuff gone, but his children's gone. But in that, watch this. This will help you right here. In that, Job said this. He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, the Bible said, Job sinned not against the Lord. In sorrow, it was one thing. But watch this. Never seen this before, Danny. But when Job got sick himself, in chapter 3, you find him cursing the day he was born. He's not cursed the day when he's lost his children and everything he's got. His wife said, "Curse God and die." What a message. Joe Arthur preaches on that, on the wife of Job. And he preached in Alabama. Curse God and die. He said it was a bit of sympathy killing is the reason she said that. I never considered that. But when Job got sick himself, when Job got past going, I told myself in this thing. I thought, you know what? I'd be a whole lot like old Mike McCoy. When I get past going, I'm not good. I'm too used to going. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go. And then you get where you can't go. And the devil says, "Hey, how you doing right now? Where's your shout out now, hot dog? Hey, the wall's out there. Let's see that wall fall down." Blessed be the name of Jehovah. God just kept on gouging old Job. Job kept talking to his miserable, comforting friends that he had. And he just kept on talking about God, and God just kept on holding back. And all of a sudden, God shows up on the scene. Hey, Job's about to get better. I don't know what condition I'll get in before I leave this world, but I know I'm going to leave this world one day. And when I leave this world, praise God, the condition has just changed. I'm not going to be sick anymore. There's not going to be any trouble. There won't be any heartache, sorrow, suffering, pain, or tears. Praise God forever. Listen, but here on this side, the devil uses that discomfort. He discomforted Job by the sorrow and suffering of his children being gone. And then he touches his body. And old Job's in a bad way. Paul knew the story. He's not ignorant of the devil's devices. Maybe this occurred to Paul after about that third time he prayed. And that thing hurt him when he walked, or he couldn't see. Some think that it was his issue was his blindness, because he wrote with such large letters. I wouldn't argue that. I have a soft spot for people that can't see. But the devil says, you don't feel so good now. You don't feel like going to church. You don't feel like shouting. I can't find anywhere in the Word of God where he said, Mark, thank you, brother, for you shouted a minute ago. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where he says, when you feel like it, shout. Folks say this all the time. I just don't feel like it. I don't feel led. He didn't say feel led. He just said do it. He just said do it. Listen, I'll pull a Blanton. I double dog dare you, somebody that's never shouted, just to stand up and go, woo! That's what I thought. Not one taker. It'll help you. If you do it for the Lord, it'll help you. It'll help you. Job's feeling bad. Job don't feel like shouting. Listen, it's a device of the devil. It's the purpose. That word means purpose. It's a device. It's the purpose of the devil to keep you from shouting. He doesn't want any shout. He doesn't want any joy. He doesn't want any enthusiasm. He doesn't want any excitement. Hey, he don't want you to feel good. He wants you to feel bad. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't want you happy in the Lord. He wants you dead and dry and not doing one thing. And God said, give me a shout. The psalmist said, shout with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands. That blows some people away. You ought to hear that bunch of Jews get happy. And they don't even know Jesus. And they'll go to going, woo! And clapping their hands and dancing. And they spin around when they dance. That's what Habakkuk means. That word rejoice means to spin round and around. They're good at it. I would to God that some that dancing, jumping Joe had a partner in camp meeting. There's a guy down in South Carolina named, I don't know if his name's Dr. Phil or if they just nicknamed him that because his name's Phil, but he's a pastor of a First Baptist church in Spartanburg, a Southern Baptist. I don't know that it's First Baptist. And Dr. Phil, he dances like this. So you got Phil coming down one side of the aisle and Jumping Joe doing what he does. I can't do what he does. And here comes Jumping, and I'm telling you, Dennis, you've seen him. They tear the place up. Brother Dave, it blesses me. When I see that old man get up, I'm telling you, I'm already happy. It does something to me. He ain't going to let the devil beat him down. And he's got children trouble, his kids. His kids have caused him all kinds of grief. He's just got a lot of things that the devil uses as a device against him. You ever had that? Had that doubt? Had that doubt? Oh, my word. Then that discomfort. I've been in pain a few times. God done it for purpose. I know. I know he did. Jan, I'm with you. See, I said, God said, hey, I'll let you taste a little bit of this. Pat said, you're going to be a lot more sympathetic to people that hurt. I said, you got that right. Because I used to just think, hey, just get on, buck up here and get on up with it and do it. Why? Because it never hurt so bad that I couldn't do that. And then it did. And there wasn't no bucking up. He's laying in the floor like a little kid going, oh, I'm about to die. Where's the shout now, preacher? Praise God, when I got to Tennessee and thought I was going to die in the homeland, I was shouting glory then. Discomfort. The device of the devil. You don't understand the health things you're dealing with. God keep, and God's allowing that thing to come your way. I don't understand that, Jimmy. I don't understand Jim Nip getting sick. I don't understand that. He's a fine guy. Just a good man. A new grandpa. last. We see the doubt in the very beginning. We see the discomfort in the time of blessing. I was talking to someone the other day. Visited. I said, you know what drives people away from God quicker than anything else, hands down, quicker than anything else? Prosperity. So in that time of blessing, we see that on Job. But Job never left the Lord. He cursed the day he was died. It'd been better if I hadn't have been born. God turned it around for him. Number three, here's a device of the devil. Oh my. And it's denial. You say, I never do that. Let me ask you this. You think you're a better Christian or person or closer to God than Peter was? I couldn't carry Peter's sandals. Peter's walking by the Lord in Luke 22. Luke's the one that records this. And he said, Simon said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, I prayed for you, Peter. Peter said, Lord, I'm going with you all the way. I'm going to death. I'm going to die with you. I'll go all the way. Jesus said, before that cock crow three times or twice, you'll deny me thrice. And three times in the hall praetorium with Jesus in the wings. God ever get on you about testifying or witnessing to someone and you just blatantly deny it? You just say, nah, I ain't got time. I'll make them mad. They don't want to hear it. Sure, they don't want to hear it. They're not going to run up to you and say, tell me about Jesus. Tell me, Randy, tell me. No, they're going to run off over here somewhere. Tell them. What is that? What brings that denial? Well, it's fear. It must be. But He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. That's the spirit that He gives us. So who are we yielding to when we fail, when that fear comes upon us? It has to be the flesh. Here's what the devil whispers. Where do you think that thought? Do you understand that our minds is the battlefield with the devil? If he's the prince and the power of the air, and according to Scripture he is, and he can speak and bring things to your mind and show you things, he showed them to Jesus in the Mount of Temptation. Don't tell me he can't show it to Larry or Mike or Randy. And the battlefield, and he says, hey, don't do it. They don't want to hear it. Hush. Just don't say nothing. The best illustration of that, in my opinion, was Hoy Duncan's when the bridge broke going over Tampa Bay. The barge got loose, hit the purling. The bridge broke and the cars, and there was a hole. There wasn't any bridge anymore, and it's 300 feet to the water. And this guy sees it, gets stopped, and is running up the road, waving his arms, trying to stop the cars, and they're just driving off the bridge. That happened in Tampa Bay. And they think this guy's a nutcase because he's out of his car running up the road. All they got to do is stop. He overcame his fear, Brother Paul, because of his concern. That's what overcame. His concern for them. He knew. Do we believe that hell's real?
Yes.
I mean, we love heaven. I love to talk about heaven. That's where I'm going one of these days. My family's there. My Aunt Joyce stepped in there about 4:10 this morning. There was Jesus. I mean, to be absent from this body, be present with the Lord, there it is. Paul So he said he was willing to be at. There's all these good things. But I'm telling you, hell's real. The device of the devil is denial. And here's what it is. Then it's denial. It goes from fear to failure. And when Peter had failed the Lord completely and wholly, he was close enough to him. In Luke, the Bible said, and Jesus looked on Peter. And he went out and he wept bitterly. He looked at him. If this was the end of this message today, I'd say, my word, the devil's using the devices against me that I can't overcome. I'm defeated in myself. I just will fold my little tent and go to the house and never stick my head back outside again. But the story doesn't stop in verse 11. I want to jump down to verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. My triumph's not in myself. My triumph is in the Lord. Hallelujah. My triumph is in the Lord. I'm going to lift my eyes toward the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. That's where my help's at. How do you know that? Because he defeated the devil. Every time the devil brought a device against Jesus, Jesus defeated him at his own game. We see him beaten in the garden. When Jesus kneels down, you know what he says? Father, not my will, but thy will. You know what Satan said? I will. The pride, the sin of pride, the original sin. I'll do this and I'll do that. When you use I, me, and my too many times in a sentence, I'm telling you, friend, you're talking about the wrong one. Hey, but when you're talking about the Lord in the garden, he said that. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, Father. Then he goes to Golgotha. Here's what he says. The devil thinks he's got it done, but he says this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that good? Praise God forever. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. They're nailing me to a tree. Forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. He defeats the devil again in the garden on Golgotha, then in the graveyard. Hey, I'll be standing at another grave on Saturday. We're going to take my aunt and put her in the ground. But I'm glad, praise God, that on the third day, when the devil thought he had done everything he could do, Jesus come walking out of that thing, hallelujah, to the Lamb. And that's a promise that we have tonight. We can bury her with full assurance that that's not the end of the road. Isn't it good? That's not the end of the road. Praise God. Listen. Don't be tripped up by the devil's devices. He has not changed his tactics. He's using the same thing now that he used at the beginning. And you know what? Jesus still beats him hands down every time. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not in thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy path. Isn't that good? Does that mean that the Lord won't allow the devil to be in our path? Oh, no. No, just the opposite. That means he's going to prove every... Oh, God, thank you for that. Every time the devil confronts you or engages you, and you let the Lord direct your path, and you depend on the Lord... The Lord defeats him at his own game every time, and you're that much better for it. Roseanne used to sing a song, Remind Me, Dear Lord. Every time he confronts you, God's giving you opportunity to overcome him. Draw nigh to God. He'll what? Draw nigh unto you. Do what? Resist the devil. And then what happens? he flees from you. But when we become that doubter, God will do it for Danny White, but he won't do it for me. Oh no, he's no respecter of person. He's got your best interest in mind. You know you were born to be blessed? Absolutely. He didn't birth one person in this world to be unblessed. He birthed you to be blessed. So don't let the doubt, don't let the discomfort. I know it's hard when you're in pain. I didn't call anyone. I got in the hospital that day down there at Cookeville. I just thought I'd go in there, they'd take a picture, find out what was wrong, take it out, I'd be okay. Doesn't work that way. And Randy showed up. I guess Pat called him. I don't know. I don't even know how you knew, but I'm assuming that Pat called him because I was kind of out of it. And Randy prayed for me. I can't tell you the times that it's been me standing beside the bed and I've said the prayer. I never know if God answers that unless they just tell me blatantly later, will God answer that prayer? I don't know if He answered that prayer. I don't know if He answered it in the way I asked it, but I tell you what He done that day. Randy prayed for me. I think the happy shot had just a little bit to do with it. But God used Randy to encourage me greatly. And things got better. And things got better. Discomfort. And then in times of denial, come get us a song, Brother Newt. Somebody here needs this tonight. I know in my heart that I was supposed to preach this message tonight. The Lord confirmed this morning in the prayer room. So I don't know who you are. And you might think if I go pray, somebody will think it was for me. Well, I'm just going to tell you it's for me. If you're here tonight, it's for you. And if you're watching on Facebook, it's for you. It's for whoever hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's stand to our feet, Brother Newt. Saying, if you need to pray about something, you're welcome to come.
149. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, Thou who ruleth wind and water, stand by me. In the wind and water, stand by me. In the wind and water, stand by me. In the
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.